right, this morning we're going to continue on with our series of community. Yes. How many of you like to build puzzles? Yes, all right. How many of you have actually, you may not like it, but you've built a puzzle before? Irene, you've never built a puzzle before? Oh, I gotta come over to your house and we're gonna build a puzzle. I'll bring really simple ones so it goes fast. Because Elijah has like puzzles that are six pieces. So, there we go. Okay. All right. When you put a puzzle together, it's nice when it's fresh out of the box, right? Because you know every piece of the 1,000 pieces are there. Or six. Yeah, I like those six puzzle pieces. It's really nice. If you feel like you've accomplished something. Yes. It's like, boom, puzzle done fast. World record kind of thing. But how many of you go, you know, I put a puzzle together and there's a piece missing. Mm-hmm. It's a bit frustrating, isn't it?
Yeah,
it is. It's kind of like, hey, got it. Where'd that piece go? Sometimes we like, okay, I'll look for it. And we spend 10 seconds and we look for it. Or maybe we spend 10 minutes and looking for it. Because we want to put it together. We want it to be whole. We want it to be complete, right? Yeah. But as we look at this puzzle, can you tell what the puzzle is supposed to be? Do you see the image? You see the image. You see what the puzzle is supposed to convey. A beautiful, snowy winter wonderland. I wish that was my backyard. Because I love snow a lot and all the mountains. But what also catches your eye? The missing piece. So even though the puzzle is almost all the way complete and we can see what the image is, there's a piece missing. And community is kind of the same idea. If we are all not a part of the community that God has asked us to be a part of, there might be a missing puzzle piece. The church, the way God intended it to act and to be, not just a building, but us, its people, we can function, we can do things and build his kingdom, but sometimes there might be a missing piece because we may have chosen, you know what, I'm not going to get involved. I'm not going to do what God has asked me to do. I'm not going to follow his direction because maybe I don't like a winter wonderland. I would rather be a puzzle piece in a beach scene. Or maybe I want to be a focal point. I'd rather be a puzzle piece that is a beautiful sky piece. I don't want to be a tree. See, Jesus has given us all a unique giftings and abilities to be a part of his kingdom, to be a part of his community. We are a church, Stockholm Community Church, but we are also part of the larger body of Christ. All those here in Stockholm, all in Sweden, all those around the world that say, I am a follower of Jesus Christ, we are a part of that body. And so today we're going to dive into, there is a purpose for community that we get to show the world through our puzzle by being a part of the church. We get to show the world a magnificent masterpiece called Jesus' love. By being that display. So the purpose for community is for others to know who God is. The church, we as the people, not a building, we are to be a model in the window for the world to see who Jesus is. And if we are missing from there, if we are supposed to be standing there showing and displaying for the world who Jesus is, but we are missing because we have chosen to not be in the picture, then they're not going to see the full display that God wishes to have for the people of the world. We are the model in the window, not a building, but the people. In John 15, 9 through 12, it says this, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. So we, the last few weeks, we have talked about remaining or abiding in God and the desire that He has for us and our desire to please Him and to honor Him with all that we do. And now we're moving from the command of honoring and loving Jesus to now loving each other, to be a part of the community. Well, let's stop and take a moment. There at the end, it says, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you." So it's not loving each other the way that I think I should love someone, or how I should love them because they are being nice and doing something good for me. But Jesus is saying, love each other as I have loved you. How does Jesus love us? Jesus loves us with unconditional love. Jesus loves us without expecting anything in return. Let's realize, so there's, say, 7 billion people around the world, give or take. And then some estimate there could be upwards of 2 billion people that love Jesus. So that means that there are still 5 billion people that don't love Jesus. Does Jesus only love the 2, or does He love the all 7? He loves all 7. Even though 5, some of them say, no way, no way, Jose, all the way. Even though people say, no, I reject the love from God, Jesus' love is still there for them. We have to realize and grasp the love that God has for us. It's a selfless love. He loves us without ever expecting us to love Him back. So that's the same kind of love that we should have. Now, let's all get a little personal. If we were Jesus back in the day when He was training up His disciples, and we called our 12 together, how many of you would have called Judas, the man who betrayed Jesus? So, dude, come follow me. No, I know, in 3 years, you're going to be I'll do all this bad stuff. How many of us would have called Judas and said, I'm going to invest 3 years into you just so you can betray me? But yet, that's the same love that Jesus is calling us to have. To invest into someone, even if we know beyond a shadow of a doubt, they are going to betray us or hurt us in some way. That's a difficult kind of love. It's a difficult kind of love. But it's a love that is given without the expectation of anything in return. Earlier in John, Jesus said this, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." As I did some studying, disciples in that day, people would follow a rabbi, a teacher, and adhere to their teachings and their lifestyle. Some would even go as far as to mimic every behavior that they had, from the clothes that they preferred to the food that they liked to what they did and didn't like, as far as, you know, I like to run instead of walk. You know, those kinds of things. For us, it would be like, you know, TV shows, music, podcasts, cars to drive, food to eat, those kinds of things. They would adhere to even to the letter of everything the rabbi had. And that teacher, that rabbi, would be able to speak into their life and say, here's how you should be interpreting this, that, and the other thing. And they would be able to question. And so the disciples saw Jesus as a rabbi, so they allowed him to, they willingly chose to give him influence in their life. And Jesus said, you know what? Love everyone. Because when I leave, people are going to know that you follow me because of your love. Jesus is saying that's the one defining characteristic of who I am. I want people to know you love me because you love each other. So church people, we have to work on making sure we are loving each other in the way that Jesus asked us to love. Because sometimes if we don't do that, that can lead to a puzzle piece missing. Because we hurt people or we choose to not extend grace and mercy and forgiveness. This is not saying that we are to love everyone. But it is saying that we are to express and be caring about people, but then when it comes to those that are coming into the church and wanting to be a part of the body of Christ, we are to love each other within that realm. When someone comes into the family, we welcome them. We embrace them as part of the family. We don't go, oh, that's the crazy aunt. Or that's the brother that no one likes. He's the black sheep. We don't do that. We embrace and welcome people in, no matter where they've come from or who they are. It's a brotherly love that was the distinguishing characteristic. It's incredible to just think, you know, all of what Jesus had done. Jesus wasn't saying, you know, your miracles will be a sign that you love me and to the world, or the extraordinary wisdom that I give to you, or the type of clothes that you have, or gifts from the Holy Spirit. That's not the identifying markers of a follower of Jesus. What identifies a follower of Jesus is love. Imposters can fake so many things. I mean, look at Moses. When Moses went to Pharaoh and did the plagues, turned his staff into a snake, Pharaoh's magicians were able to turn their staffs into snakes as well. So there is the ability to fake some of these other things, but you can't fake love, can you? You can't fake grace and mercy and gratitude and true brotherly love. So, today, two things. Loving others is a commitment. To be a part of the body, it's a commitment to each other. Like we would commit to a sports team or a commitment to our job, that I will show up 9 to 5, 8 to 4, whatever it is, I commit and I will be there. It's us committing. Acts 2:42 said they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. They devoted themselves. That's what their life was about. Part of us have to make that switch. Church isn't just about Sunday, 10:30 to 12:30. Church is about 24/7. Being a part of the body of God is 24/7. I, even though I'm not in a building together with my brothers and sisters, I can still pick up the phone and call. I can still send a text and say, hey, thinking about you, praying for you. How can I specifically pray for you? And it's also going, oh, I'm part of the body of Christ. I need to be a display today. Jesus, help me to display correctly your love to my coworkers. Help me to display correctly your love to my family members. Because we're always on display, church. We are always on display. When we sign up and say, Jesus, you are my King and my Lord, we are always on display, whether we like it or not. But in that, we have the ability to also be honest and to be real and allow people to see, hey, just because you're with Jesus doesn't mean you don't have struggles. But guess what? He's a strength for us, right? He's a fortress when things are going bad. He's a shield for us. He's my provider. Ephesians 4:2, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. So that's Paul's putting out on us as followers of Jesus. We have to make the effort to keep unity. He's not saying to the pastors, pastor, make the effort to keep people unified in the church. He's saying, church, the people, you make the effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. We all get to be a part. We all get to make this engine work. Colossians 3, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. We are part of the body, so we are called to be peacemakers with each other. They're maintained relationships based on love, loyalty, and care for each other. true, genuine care for each other. With Paul, if we look into some of this information, this history, Jesus came to save all mankind. And yet the Jews thought the Savior would come just to rescue them. But Jesus opened their eyes that he is not just for the Jew, but he's for the Gentile. So Gentile was everybody else. That wasn't a Jew. Jesus came for everybody. So this early church wasn't just Jews, but they were Romans and Greeks. You know, people from all different walks of life. It's like every believer was from both sides of the street. I'm familiar in America. Part of some of the work I did was gang training. I was on a gang task force helping kids come out of the street violence with gangs. And oftentimes the conversation was, okay, this kid's new, getting into our program, when we do our mixer, we have to make sure that we're inviting kids from this side of the street, but not kids from that side of the street. Because if you put the two sides together, you're going to create a war and a clash. But Jesus is saying, you know what? I'm going to throw all of you together. I'm putting both sides of the street together, and peace is going to rule that hood. So as we come together, we come from various walks of life. I don't think there are more than three people from the same country, in this room. We come from all different places. So we all have different backgrounds. We all have different cultures. Some of us, the way we were raised in Jesus is vastly different than the way I was raised to know and love Jesus. We all move forward together. We all come together in that disunity of the world. Christ unifies us because his love is what compels us to maintain peace and love. You know, elections are next week. I'm sure we're going to have, if we did an informal poll, there's probably several different people that are voting for different parties in here. We're not all the same party. We don't all think the same. But what we do believe together is the love that Jesus had for us. And that despite our political differences, let's say that, we can still build the kingdom of God because the kingdom of God is greater than our political beliefs. So loving others is a commitment to see past some of those things that we would consider barriers. Loving others is also being available. Romans 12, 4 through 10 talks about how we are members of one body and each of us has a unique gift and role to play. He says that though many form one body, each member belongs to the other. So when I commit to being a part of Stockholm Community Church, I belong to all of you. And you belong to me. Not ownership-wise, but commitment that we are in this fight together. We are growing and advancing the kingdom of God together. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. If your gift is prophesying, prophesy. If it's serving, serve. If it's teaching, teach. If it's encouragement, then give encouragement. We all have an ability that God has given to us, and our gift is to be used. That is part of the puzzle of Stockholm Community Church. And if we choose not to use the gift God has given to us, then we're going to have a missing puzzle piece. Still going to function. Still going to work. People can generally see it. But the great appreciation is when we're all in it together. And at the end of that, in Romans 4, he says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. So Jesus and Paul, the New Testament is consistently encouraging, love others. Love others. Love is the trademark. Love is how people are going to know who I am. Love other people. Because that's a display that will then draw in the crowds. In Corinthians 12 through 20, again, Paul's again talking about how we are all part of the body, that even though he says here, towards the end, says, but in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts in one body. So if my hand decided to just, my left hand decided to stop working today and go on vacation, I wouldn't be able to function as well, right? And it would be a noticeable difference, not just for me, but for you all. You would see that I'm missing something. Because my hand belongs to the body and operates with the body. It serves its full function. So to love others, we have to be available. We have to be available to them. We have to be, as we commit to the body of, say, Stockholm Community Church, if this is where you choose to commit, or maybe you're here visiting and you've committed to somewhere else, we have to be available. We have to be available for what God has asked us to do in serving and being a part of the body of Christ. Let's face it, God's plan all along was for each of us to be different. God's plan all along was to create all of us to be unique individuals. And if we were all up here, if we were all preachers, you know, maybe y'all would just sit here and after every message that I gave, you would all come to me with your critiques. Here's what I think you did well, and here's what you've done better. Or if we were all musicians, we'd, oh man, I can't wait to sing that song next week because I'm going to do so much better, or I'm going to put this little, you know, in it, whatever. But if we were all the same, wouldn't it be so fun? What makes life enjoyable is that we're individuals and we're different. I mean, both of my kids, Amelia and Elijah, they kind of have the same personality, but yet they're also vastly different. And that makes it a joy to have in the house. My wife and I are the same in some ways, but we're also vastly different. And it's good, because different is good. It brings about new life. It brings about new revelation. She sees things in a different way than I see them. And sometimes that helps spur me out of a funk that I'm in, because I think, blah, 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 and she goes, but Brandon, yes. Oh, man, I never thought of it that way. And if we are available, sometimes we're the text message or we're the phone call that gets someone through their day. Man, someone's thinking about me. My church does love me and care about me. I am part of something greater. There are people that want to do life with me. So let's remember that love is a commitment, and love is also being available to each other. So this morning I have three takeaways that you may find yourself in one or more. The first one, to love others the way Christ loves, we must first experience his love. Today I'm inviting you to experience his love. Maybe you're saying, you know what, Pastor Brandon, I've heard sermons multiple times, or maybe this is the first time, but you are called to experience his love. You can't love the way Christ loved until you experience his love first. So maybe today you're here and in your heart saying, yeah, I need to experience his love. Whether it's for the very first time, or man, I just need to experience it again. I've just kind of lost sight, lost track. I've been here or there. I just need to bring it back in. I need to rein in my focus. Maybe that's you today. We're going to pray for you. We're going to pray for you. Second, you need to commit to being a part of his church, not just a casual observer anymore. We all are part. We all have a gift and ability. We need people to join the team to help make this thing go round. We had an incident in our family take place a while ago where my wife and our foster son had a conversation with some of the social workers about an issue that was going on. And they talked, my wife and he talked beforehand, and so in the meeting, they were both able to give various sides and opinions to help turn the thought process of the social workers. And it was a great win for us in this new relationship that we have. And when we got to the car after this meeting, Angela said to him, said, "See, you know, when we work together, good things can happen." And he said, "Yeah, teamwork makes the dream work." Without prompting, if we work together, the dreams that we have for Stockholm Community Church together, because you, I hope, have dreams for what this church can be and where it can go, we together will make those dreams work. So we need you to be a part, not just an on-the-side casual observer. And number three, allow the helper, that is the Holy Spirit, to give you a makeover, making you into the model that he wants you to be. Not what you think the display should look like or how society tells you love should be displayed. Ask the Holy Spirit, "Holy Spirit, how do I display your love? Not what I think it is, not what someone else tells me, but what you say it is." Maybe that's going to take a little bit of work and research to dive into the Word, to study, to read, to understand, God, what is your love? So there's three takeaways: experiencing his love, not being an observer, but then also asking, maybe I need a makeover today. Maybe it's a full makeover. Maybe it's just a little bit of tweaking. God, do your work in me today. So this morning, as they play the song, we're going to pray. And so I'm going to ask everyone to just close your eyes and bow your heads. We're going to have a moment of honesty between you and Jesus. And this first takeaway is that, God, I need to experience, or I want to experience your love today, whether it's the first time or it's the seventh time. God, I need a refresher. If that is you, please raise your hand and say, "God, I need to experience your love today." Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters that have raised their hand. Whether it is a need for a first time or a refreshing of your love, Father, pour it out on them. Pour it out. Holy Spirit, right now, speak to them. Pour into them. Download in them your love. What it means that for you to call them your son, your daughter. What it means that you are their everlasting Father. What it means that, Jesus, you died on the cross just for them. That when you were on the cross, you were thinking of them. You saw their face. So this is for my son. This is for my daughter. God, I pray, pour it out. Let them experience and feel your love today in a tangible way. So from that love, they know what it is to love others. From that love, they know what it is to be safe and secure in who you've called them to be. From that love, they know that they can put one foot in front of the other. Even if life feels so overwhelming, they can keep going because your love is guiding them. Your love is around them. You are proud of who they are. You want them to become even more like you. So I pray, pour out love today. Pour out love today. Lord, for those that feel, you know what, I've been sitting on the bench, whether it's because I just didn't want to get involved, or it's I feel overwhelmed by getting involved, or I feel like I have too much. God, you are challenging all of us to be involved in your kingdom, to be your display of love for the world. And so I pray for those right now. Say, God, I need to get involved. I need to not be just an observer, but Lord, put me to work in your kingdom. Whether it's being a part of the dream team or at Stockholm Community Church to help set things up, or whether I need to use my giftings in the workplace, I need to speak up at work about who you are. Now, there's so many ways for us to get involved in the kingdom. I pray you challenge them in that. Lord, lastly, for those of us, we need that makeover. There are some things we're not displaying your love in a correct way. So if you feel like that's you, everyone's eyes closed, even mine, just raise your hand and acknowledge to God. God, I need a little help this morning. I need a partial or a full makeover because I need to display your love correctly. Lord, work on my attitude, work on my thought process, work on my habits so I can display you in the right way, the way you want, not how I think, not how someone else tells me it should look, but how you have communicated to me. Thank you, Father, for challenging all of us this morning to do better at displaying your love to each other so the world may know your love. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Love you, Jesus. Love you, Jesus. Lord, I just pray as we leave here today, that we would go in strength and encouragement that you are for us, that you want us to be a part, that you have a plan and purpose for us, that we would then engage in what you have. We love you, Jesus. We ask these things in your name. Amen. Amen. Amen.